This podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the U.S. and Europe. Today, you are listening to our AI in Action series, where leading minds in AI from across the world share their story, success, and advice. AI in Action cuts through the hype and explores the true impact of artificial intelligence in our world today.
You're listening to AI in Action. I'm your host, JP Valentine. Our guest today is Devanshi Vyas. Devanshi is the co-founder at Sensus AI. Devanshi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So Devanshi, let's start with yourself, please, as we do with all of our guests. Could you give us an overview of your background in technology and what your journey has been like from where you got started, some of the roles you've held along the way, and what's led you to where you are today as the co-founder at Sensus AI?
So my interest in computers and technology started when I was very young. I started programming, you could say, as a five-year-old with Logo, but actual programming I started in high school, where I learned C, C++, built some applications, was testing out some algorithms, and it only deepened with an undergrad in CS, and then I came to Columbia to do my master's in computer science. And that's where I found a lot of like-minded individuals who were interested in solving problems. I've been a builder for most of my life. I like tinkering with projects and trying to understand how you could actually build an application. And I found that community while I was at Columbia. And I also found a lot of great professors and mentors for life. And right out of school, I joined Amazon, and honestly, I couldn't have asked for a better place to start my career, because Amazon is a massive company that operates at planet scale, really. And getting those opportunities and that exposure, where I initially was at AWS, I spent nearly 6 years at Amazon, split between AWS and Amazon Music, and building for millions and millions of customers. I was in the EC2 team, and after that, I was in music machine learning, where everything, where you ask Alexa to, hey, play a song, what kind of cue it recommends, all of those models were built by my team. So being able to delight customers, to build solutions that were highly scalable and reliable, really honed me as an engineer. And yeah, while I was at Amazon, I was also always looking at what kind of opportunities do we have. AI has been growing for the past few years, and it's changed a lot since I did machine learning at school. And keeping up with it has been a passion of mine. And in the last few years, NLP has hit an inflection point where finally we have summaries and models that are human level good. And while this is happening, I think one thing that I've always been concerned about is, while this is all great and there are a lot of opportunities and capabilities that are being unlocked by these new models, we also need to understand how to observe these, how to monitor these, so that we can leverage their capabilities, but in a safe, reliable way. And I thought that this was the crux of how new entrants into the field of AI as customers of AI are going to have this question at the core of how they can productionize AI. And that's why I started Sensius, where we're an AI observability platform, which helps you understand and monitor and explain your models. So you're no longer working with a black box, but can leverage the full capabilities of the model and be ensured yourself and also your own customers that this is being done in a reliable way, responsible way.
Thank you for that, Devanshi. I appreciate you sharing your background and your journey. And you talked a little bit about where the idea started to form for Sensus. So I want to set the stage now for the audience, many of whom tech professionals working in the same space. If you were speaking to customers about Census, what is it that you tell them to that will best sort of capture your mission, who you are, what you do, and what problems you can solve for them?
Our North Star for Census is to make observability as accessible as OpenAI has made LLMs. So LLMs are not new. They've been around for a few years now. And the difference that OpenAI brought in was the fact that they packaged it in a way where it was usable for non-ML practitioners to leverage the capabilities. And that is how I want to make observability also accessible for all ML practitioners, because right now we're in a space where we've had this AI boom that everyone knows about. And with it has come the democratization of AI, where AI a few years ago was very closed. It was mostly leveraged by people like myself, people who went to school for AI, who worked in ML teams and worked for multiple quarters and multiple years on a single project building a new model. All that has been shortened by large language models and their distributors like Anthropic and OpenAI and Cohere. And now we're in the space where everyone understands that they don't have to necessarily have resources to hire 10, 50 ML practitioners, which has historically been very hard, but they can now leverage AI using these providers. What's interesting is the fact that now we're at a space where all the tools that are available to us are good enough to build a demo, where you can very clearly show that you can use any off-the-shelf model, build in a use case. If you want to build embeddings, put them in Pinecone and see the sort of pipeline of ML, where it goes from idea to kind of product. The problem is, it's not reliable enough. Like even with a simple question where it could be like, rate this article from 1 to 10, if you ask the same question to ChatGPT 5 times, it's going to give different answers. And that is fine in a demo, but that's not good enough for production, because there's real customers out there that are interacting with your software, with your services, and having this much variation might not be what they expect or what they're okay with. And so that's where observability comes in. So that's why we also have a blog, an educational blog that helps people understand why observability is necessary. But we have to shift the kind of mindset from observability being something that is nice to have to something that is essential, that is necessary, especially with all the oncoming regulation. We're going to have compliance issues, and governments everywhere are really interested in understanding how to regulate AI. So it is really important that as you go into this phase of understanding how your company or your team wants to leverage AI, you have to constantly think also about the fact on how you would be monitoring it, how you would be observing it. And that's where Census comes in. We help you understand your AI pipelines, your AI models, and actually give you insights into how it is behaving with different iterations. You can compare iterations, whether you have traditional models or NLP models. We can help you gain insights so that you can constantly improve it and you can understand what the performance is. Because the truth is, so far we've seen that observability is pretty bare bones, even in well-resourced teams. And we cannot continue down this path, because as we continue to increase the number of AI use cases, we constantly need to also increase how much visibility we have into those, because we don't want to be in a position where things go wrong and we don't even know why they went wrong, because in that case, one, you cannot fix it, and two, it can actually result in customer attrition, loss of customer trust, and it actually affects your bottom line dollars.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
Are there any recent examples, Devanshi, that you could share with us with a customer journey? Because I know you and I were speaking off air, like the business launch in April of this year, but you already have a functioning working product, which is a quick turnaround for a startup. Is there any recent customer journeys or examples that you can share with us on who you're supporting and what you're doing for them, and most importantly, what the outcome has been?
One of the customers that we have worked with have leveraged our NLP observability tools. And one of the use cases that they were using was summarization. So for summarization, when we initially started talking to them, we also wanted to understand how they had thought about the observability problem so far. And it was very surprising that the only kind of observability they had was spot check. So they would try out summaries with respect to different models. So they were initially evaluating two or three providers for a good summarization model. And the way they evaluated it eventually came down to how much it was costing and how spot checking the summaries if they were good enough. And this is where the problem comes in, where if you're doing these manual checks, they're very limited in the kind of value they can provide or insight they can provide, because how many summaries can you spot check? You can spot check 5, 10, 100 maybe, but if you're generating thousands of summaries every day, then that's not a good enough way to evaluate whether your model's doing well or not. So we came in, and one of the things that we've been very intentional about from day one was the fact that we understand that the user base has changed, especially for AI. It's no longer people who've built models by hand or understand how models react to different input and things like that. It's anyone who can use an API at this point. And so there are going to be a lot of software developers who don't necessarily have a lot of AI experience that will be leveraging this. And because of that, we need to move away from how, for example, one of the ways that they were trying to see whether the summary is good or not was how many sentences it had generated, because that's easy to check. But that's not really saying much about the quality of the summary. So you need, first of all, you need to understand, how do you evaluate summarizations? So we help them with building embeddings out of it. So we give that out of the box, actually. And we realize that there are a lot of steps along the way where customers tend to get lost because they understand that they need some kind of visualization. But the question that comes to mind is, okay, I need to somehow use visualizations, so I need to build embeddings. If I need to build embedding, I need to figure out what kind of model I need to use to build the embeddings. And once I have the embeddings, I need to embed them in some embedding space. Like, how do I do that? And also, what metric am I going to differentiate them based on? Like, just embedding them in an embedding space and going through them doesn't really give you much unless there's a distinguishing metric. So we make this process very simple. You give us either the prompt and response, or if it's a fine-tuned model, you give us the reference summary and the actual summary. We create the embeddings for you, and we calculate root score for every data point. We plot that into an embedding space for you, which is highly interactive, and you can filter based on that. So you can very clearly see which ones are doing well, which ones are not doing well. We also give performance tracing on this. So you can check, for example, what kind of languages are being exposed or are being queried due to this. So, for example, our customer found out that some of the summaries that were not doing well were because some of the summaries that they were asking for were in Spanish, and the model that they were using was only good enough for English. So then they could make a decision whether they just want to ignore the Spanish queries or whether they want to expand the model, use a separate model for Spanish, add some detection logic, or just get a better model that works for both.
I want to spend a little bit of time now talking about the team that you've assembled behind the scenes who have built the Census product. Help us look behind the scenes, describe the various positions that exist, the size of the group, and most importantly, what the plan is to further grow the team.
So we're currently a small team, mostly engineering focused. And so there's myself, our lead research scientist is Gatha. She is a PhD and she has had experience. She's ex-BlackRock. She has worked with ML systems all her life. And so she's leading research with a couple other data scientists who've had education and some experience in the space before. And the rest are engineers. Our lead is Afza. He's had several years in building AI applications. And so he's built in this space before, understands how the pipeline should be, what kind of infrastructure to use. And he's also building it with a set of engineers who are both backend and a couple frontend engineers. And as for growth, we are looking to grow in the next 6 months and hire more engineers and also some product and marketing related positions that would be opening up, and also some sales positions.
Excellent, excellent. Final question for me then. When you're speaking to people about Census, as you've done up to now, hiring talented engineers, and what you will continue to say to people when you're interviewing them, what is it that you tell them about Census that gets them excited to join you guys over some of the other great companies trying to hire in a similar space?
The space is definitely very exciting, and fairness and privacy and responsible AI is definitely something that a lot of ML practitioners are very concerned about. And we've seen on LinkedIn, whether it's Geoffrey Hinton or Andrew Ng, legends at this point in the field, they've also voiced their concern. And so that is definitely something that drives everyone at Census and a lot of people who are interested in working at Census. And when it comes to the kind of people who stand out while in interviews, it's definitely someone who has strong desire to learn and fill in missing skills. It's not that we expect you to already know everything, because we're also figuring this out as we go and the field itself is evolving. But we need people, and we're a tight group that works together, figuring out where this field is going and ensuring that we're building a product that is great and works really well for developers and helps towards this overall goal of making observability accessible for everyone. So we definitely look at people who are willing to learn and are good at communication, because we need to make sure everyone understands what we need to do and give clear, because we give a lot of autonomy in terms of operation, because we understand that everyone that's working is working with combined goal of taking the product forward. So we need to make sure that we can communicate clearly. And also, one thing that is necessary as you work at a smaller company is you need to be comfortable with ambiguity and rapidly changing conditions. For example, a new model comes out. Like, we did not see ChatGPT being launched last year, for example. It came, it wowed everyone. We knew that AI was going to get to that level, but we weren't sure that it would be opened up for everyone, like even including my parents, who have absolutely no connection to technology. They're also fascinated by it. So it's a very wide reach. Things are rapidly changing. We need to keep up with whatever news coming along. And yeah, I think self-starters, people who view changes as an opportunity to add structure and order when necessary, whether it comes to documentation, the kind of code you write, and how you collaborate.
Devanshi, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story with us. Great insight into your newly launched startup, Sensius. I'm obviously tackling a fast growing space in AI observability and ML models. It's a great time for people to look at new and exciting startups that can capitalize on a lot of the developments in the field. So we wish you, your team, and everyone at Sensius the best of luck in the months and years to come. And we look forward to having you back on the show again in the future.
Thank you so much for having me and taking the time to talk to me. And this was a really great experience for me. So thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Aldis Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.aldis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.